Hey there, guys, and welcome to the Starter Set. Mark here. We're going to have a slightly different episode today. I'm just alone. A couple of reasons for that. First reason is that we're going to be taking a little bit more time to dive into the Dragon Ball Z game. All of us have had just really full schedules. We've all had a lot going on, both in our personal lives, but also in our gaming lives. And so we just haven't had an adequate amount of time or haven't invested an adequate amount of time into Dragon Ball Z to really talk about it. And that's mostly on me. The other reason is Ian was sick this week, and so he just didn't really feel comfortable recording. His voice was kind of shot, and so we decided, hey, I'm going to release a little solo episode. I have something that's been really pressing on my mind with card games recently that I've been wanting to talk about already anyway, and so I thought I would record a little solo episode for that, and then we're going to be back next week. So you're going to get two episodes on the Dragon Ball Z, I think it's DBZ Super card game, but we have already found some stuff that are like pretty creative and new and unique in it, and I think if you like Dragon Ball Z as a whole, you're going to probably like this game. It's not super easy to find, so I'm going to go ahead and put a link in the description of this episode for it, so if you want to go check it out, check it out. But if you like Dragon Ball Z as a franchise, I think you will genuinely enjoy this game, because it is unique and kind of cool. They've done some stuff that I think other card games could learn from, and we're definitely going to be talking about that on the show as we chat about it. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, other than make that little announcement, is I really wanted to talk about physical card games, the rise of physical card games, and the seeming decline of digital card games, and why that theoretically might be happening. Now, obviously, I'm not an expert in the industry. I am not working for a physical card game company and designing anything. I'm not in the business side of that. And likewise, I'm also not in the digital side of that. However, one of the things that I've noticed that has, I don't know if gotten in the way is the right terminology, but certainly has limited more of our time playing some of these digital card games and needing to give us a little bit more time to check them out in a way that we feel like we can at least give them a review as kind of like a first-time player or a new player in terms of that experience. Is our involvement in physical card games, because myself and Ian and Gibby have all gotten now involved in physical card games more. And it is sort of this wild, almost like renaissance of physical card games right now. You know, you have your sort of staple large games like Magic the Gathering, which has seen, some mishaps, but certainly has a very loyal player base. And it's seen an enormous amount of flourishing in the last, decade or so in their Commander scene. Sort of like a lot of shops really only do Commander and pre-release events at this point. And then on top of that, seeing a lot of success with a lot of their crossover stuff, which I'm personally not a huge fan of, but I know a lot of people are, being able to dive into 40K or Lord of the Rings, or I think their most recent one was Fallout, and be able to see some of your favorite worlds and franchises on cards in these sort of like world crossover series, which I think are super, super cool in terms of like if you were into that particular, like I was really attracted to the Lord of the Rings stuff and almost bought a Commander deck or two for it just because I did want Legolas and I did want Aragorn on Magic the Gathering cards because I did find that to be really cool. I don't actually know a whole lot. We rag on Yu-Gi-Oh! A lot. I don't know a lot what's going on in that, but I think they have a pretty loyal fan base. And then Pokemon was just wild, during the pandemic and then even post-pandemic. And their model of both collectors and, competitive players is pretty fantastic. And, I remember getting my first Pokemon card, right? The first card game that I was in, I'll never forget it. I was sitting in the auditorium that we sat in sixth grade in 1999. And you would come off the bus, sit in the auditorium until the bell rang, and then you would go to homeroom. And my buddy gave me a Ponyta card. And I'll never forget the first card that I got. I'll never forget kind of the place that I got it. And I probably could come pretty close to getting you in the region of the auditorium that I was sitting in that day, because I remember a lot of that really vividly because, card games have been such a big part of my life. And for years, I've sort of been out of physical card games. Physical card games sort of saw a decline. We didn't really see a lot of new ones come out. We saw a lot of new ones that did come out not be super successful. We saw the pandemic even kill a few, like Star Wars Destiny and a couple of others, that it really hurt, local gameplay, local game shops, all that sort of stuff. And when we saw sort of a flourishing in the wake of Hearthstone for digital card games, and, now between Riot getting in on it and back out and Marvel Snap and Ben Brode continuing to develop games and lots of other games that have come and some that have gone and some that have stuck around. We saw an explosion of digital card games in the industry. And now we're seeing less and less of that. In fact, we're seeing what's really interesting is physical card games absolutely flourish. And so, you know, not only did we have our three heavy hitters being, you know, Pokemon, Magic, and Yu-Gi-Oh, who have lasted many, many years, right? I played first set Yu-Gi-Oh. I played Magic way back in the day. But then we saw One Piece come out and be super successful on, a card game based on an anime. Dragon Ball Z came out. Final Fantasy came out. All of those games have super loyal fan bases, albeit some of their product is hard to get your hands on, and I'm not into them, but a lot of people who are. And then Lorcana came out, and it is nutty. I went to a local-ish game shop this past weekend and was talking to them about the games they play in there because I was interested to see if they had any Star Wars nights that were on different nights than my local game shop. And, he said, hey, we do have a Lorcana night here. They give like 50 players a week for it, which is insane. It's just, it's not that big of a shop. And they pack the house for Lorcana night. Really cool. And then Star Wars Unlimited comes out, which, you know, I would say for all intents and purposes, I think should have been a failure. Not that it didn't have a great intellectual property. Not that I don't think it has very good mechanics. But because people were already dedicated and committed to playing other games like Pokemon and Lorcana and Magic, for all intents and purposes, I thought that Star Wars would kind of receive a meh sort of reception. But the prices on cards continue to go up despite Fantasy Flight and Asmodee putting out content for it, putting out new cards. We're seeing people raving over Set 2. Even though we've only seen a couple of cards released for it, and people are buying it like mad. You know, people are frothing at the mouth for this stuff. They want to get their hands on it. And it released during a time that Pokemon and Lorcana released sets right at the same time. And so you have, you know, guys like Ian who are playing multiple of those games who do feel very drawn in different directions. And even Gibby, who's not attracted to the Star Wars Unlimited franchise, because he's not really attracted to the intellectual property, but who understands, you know, like, hey, there are people who are in my area who are playing, even though there's a lot of people already playing Magic and Lorcana and Pokemon. And so my question is, why is it that we see games like Legends of Runeterra going into virtually maintenance mode, just really working on developing PvE from a massive company like Riot? We see mishaps from Blizzard hurting and peeling players off of Hearthstone all the time, to the point now that I don't even really see many people playing Hearthstone on Twitch, other than like Battlegrounds and things, you know, alternate game modes, but not traditional card battlers. We do have, you know, games like Snap, which are successful, which I think is the outlier, but we also have games like Warpforge that seem dead on arrival, and DC Duel Force that was dead within a couple of months of its betas and releases, and its beta and its release. And so why is it that there was a time when digital card games in the wake of Hearthstone exploded and physical card games struggled? And now it seems as though there can't be enough physical card games to satisfy the desire for people to buy up cards, build decks, and sit down and play games. And digital card games seem consistently dead on arrival, with the only one really being capable of being successful having either an extraordinary strong intellectual property in Marvel and also feeling like a mixture between a mobile game and a card game. And the only really traditional card battler is around in Hearthstone because it exists still because of the loyalty to the collection that people have made, I think is a largely a lot of the reason. The alternative game modes and then the loyalty to the collection, not even necessarily loyalty to the brand or loyalty to the team, but I think a lot of people have a great amount of loyalty to the collection they've developed and they don't want to walk away from, you know, 6, 8 years, 10 years, whatever, of building a collection inside of that card game. And I think I know the reason, and I could be entirely off base here, but, you know, for me, I have been playing Star Wars locally and have begun developing some relationships, and that's been amazing for me. And I have absolutely loved even when I don't go to my local game shop to play, I'm just stopping by to pick something up. You know, the other day I ordered a couple of, you know, $4 worth of cards because I had left my coffee mug there when I played the previous weekend. And I just went down because I just wanted to hang out for a little bit, you know, spend a couple of bucks, look at what they got in and pick up my mug. And it was so cool. It was great for me. It was a 30-minute drive, but I gladly made that drive because I just wanted to go down to the local game shop and hang out. Even this past weekend, we went to a local game shop. I wasn't there to play, but it was good to be amongst my tribe and it was good to be amongst my people. You know, people were playing Pokemon that day and I wasn't, but it was still super, super cool to kind of be in the space. And you know, Ian has developed really strong relationships. You know, he's there every week playing in person for Pokemon. He's there, running their Lorcana League. You know, Gibby has made some connections in his local game shop and has played some pre-release events, for Lorcana as well. So we've all made these awesome physical connections with people who are local to us. And then for me, in addition to that, I am playing webcam games for Star Wars very consistently. I played with my friend Bougie last night from our church Lux. And we just, you know, jumped into a Discord call, pulled up our webcams and he wanted to test a deck. I wanted to play a meta deck. And so we got to kind of play those against each other and we played for a couple of hours and that was fun. It was super cool. You know, a week ago we sat down with four of us and busted out some Twin Suns decks and we played some Twin Suns. And it's the first time I had played Twin Suns. It was super fun. And it was way different than if I had played it on a digital client across from a screen name versus across from a person's voice who I knew and had relationship with. I've said this for a really long time, but life is not a single player activity or a single player game. It's multiplayer. We're meant to in some way do life with other people. And I think that is what has really caused this flourishing of physical card games. And the decline of a lot of digital card games is relationship. I think there's something inherent about card games that connects people and helps people bridge gaps and build relationship. And, you know, I used to give these little words of wisdom at the end of our podcast, which I don't do anymore. But I think it's fitting in this example to do that. In that, I think that there is something happening in the card gaming industry that needs to be continued to be, I don't know if capitalized on, leveraged, used, emphasized, that card game developers working with their local game shops to allow people to come together and play together physically and develop relationship across the table versus running on a digital client and having a screen name across. I'm not even against playing from separation, like playing digitally. I've played a lot of webcam games of Star Wars and I freaking love it. There's something about playing across the table from somebody, playing with another person that you're talking to, that changes the way that you play and the way that you enjoy card games. So, with all of that being said, if you're into card games, whether you're playing the digital ones that we're talking about, the solo ones, whatever, I really want to encourage you to find that local game shop or find that Discord server, whether it's ours or someone else's, that you can jump on and play some webcam games. Whether you're playing with physical cards, you're playing with digital cards, do not detach card games from relationships. Because I think it's imperative in the enjoyment and in the success of card games. I think in the financial success of the business, I think in sort of like the longevity of the game, that the game does not dismiss or get away from the importance of relationship that's developed when you're playing a game with somebody, specifically a card game. That's my little thoughts, a little bit of something to chew on. Quick episode, but I've just been pondering this a lot recently as I have found the Feisty Goblin and as I have been playing Star Wars Unlimited and I've come back and been just absolutely giddy about this card game in a way that I haven't been giddy since like the grand tournament came out for Hearthstone or maybe even we were doing spoiler season for like Bilgewater for Runeterra. I've just been giddy and excited about it. And I think it is because it's a good game. But it's certainly not because of my availability to play, because I can't, you know, just sit down and play it whenever I want. I need to find someone to play with. But I think it is that finding somebody to play with that has been a game changer for me when it comes to playing Star Wars Unlimited. And I think it's a game changer for Ian in Pokemon and Lorcana. And I think it's a game changer for Gibby when it comes to Lorcana as well. So find some people to play games with. Don't always do life solo. That's my little food for thought for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us here at Starter Set. We're going to be back next week talking about Dragon Ball Z. I think it's DBZ Super card game. And just enjoying ourselves in that, learning a little bit about that game, and then letting you know if it's something you should check out. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you on the next one.